Welcome to the Sunday morning broadcast of the Arizona Fellowship of the Fishermen Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermenministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support. Good morning, everybody. Let's go ahead and praise the Lord this morning.
There is no rock, there is no God like our God. No other name worthy of all our praise. Rock of salvation cannot be moved. Himself to be faithful and true. There is no rock, there is no God like us. Rock of ages, Jesus is the rock. Rock of ages, Jesus is the rock. Rock of ages. God like a God. No other name worthy of all our praise. Rock of salvation that cannot be moved. Proving himself to be faithful and true. There is no rock, there is no God like us. Rock of ages. Rock of ages, Jesus is the rock. Rock of ages, Jesus is the rock. There is no rock, there is no God like us. There is no rock, there is no God like us. Rock of ages. Soon we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. Soon and very soon we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon we are going to see the King. Soon and see the King. This land that I might see the truth and know He is the way to heaven. Wanna see Jesus lifted high, banner that flies across this land, that I might see the truth and know He is the way to heaven. Wanna see Jesus lifted high. Wanna see Jesus lifted high. Step by step, we're moving forward. Little by little, taking ground. Every prayer's a powerful weapon. Strongholds come tumbling down and down and down and down. Wanna see Jesus lifted high. Banner that flies across this land, that I might see the truth and know He is the way to heaven. I wanna see Jesus lifted high. Banner that flies across this land, that I might see the truth and know He is the way to heaven. Wanna see Jesus lifted high. 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 Step by step, we're moving forward. Little by little, taking ground. Every prayer's a powerful weapon. Strongholds come tumbling down and down and down and down. Wanna see Jesus lifted high. Banner that flies across this land, that all men might see the truth and know He is the way.
A thousand singing, holy, holy,
is the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. I see the Lord, and he's seated on the throne, train of his robe, filling the heaven. I see the Lord, and he's shining like the sun, his eyes full of fire, voice like the water, surrounding his throne, a thousand singing, holy, 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 it's the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Well, in my quiet time this week with the Lord, I've been reading John. And the thing that has stuck out to me is how contrary our ways are to his. So I want to read a few scriptures. John 5:18. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Something that stood out to me in that is that Jesus never said he was equal to God. They put that on him. Just because they put that on him doesn't make it true either. In John 5:30, it says, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. That's quite the opposition to what they just said about him, that he makes himself equal with God. No, he doesn't. John 6:38, for I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Jesus' mission was to do the will of the Father. That's our mission too. John 6:63-65 says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. That's a pretty bold statement, but it's an awesome statement because it goes hand in hand with, without him I can do nothing. You don't even come to Christ without his drawing you. You can't take the credit for any of it. One of my favorite scriptures is John 6:67. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. The reason I like that so much is because I've been in that position where I've wanted to leave, where I've thought, oh God, there's got to be a way out of this. I mean, this is just too much, too hard, too difficult. I didn't sign up for this. Whatever the case may be, these thoughts that have gone through my head. And this scripture is always what comes up in my mind when those things, those thoughts hit. Where am I going to go? Jesus has the words of eternal life. I have found that here. I have not found it anywhere else. Where else am I going to go? Anywhere else I would go will lead to death and destruction. John 7:7 says, the world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil. So a couple of things have stood out in these scriptures for me. One of them being how contrary his ways are to ours. And I see that more and more every day in the things I read online, the people I talk to, the comments that come out of people's mouths, whether they be supposed Christians or in the world, doesn't matter. It seems like there's a very fine line and you can't necessarily tell the difference, which is a sad testimony of where the church is at, where the people of this nation are at. But Jesus' way was to speak the truth. A lot of the scriptures that I've been reading in John, Jesus speaks the truth. He speaks. I think people have a vision of Jesus as the sweet, kind, loving God, which he is. He is. To those who obey and walk right and do his will, absolutely. Right, as Rick says, to the humble, absolutely. But if you walk in contrary to him, he's going to let you know. So there are scriptures in abundance where he speaks plainly and does not mince words, does not try and put a nice spin on things. He doesn't sugarcoat it. He says it like it is. You know, John 7:7 is a great one. Because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. I read something on Facebook this morning that was a woman complaining about her husband and about something that he had said to her. And the comments on the post were, there were two people who didn't side with the husband, but suggested that maybe she talk to him or get counseling. The rest of them all said, dump him. Because he said something that was, she asked him for his opinion. He gave his opinion. She didn't like his opinion. It hurt her feelings. So she posted it on Facebook, and then everybody jumped on the bandwagon saying, dump him. You're more important. You need to take care of you. Oh my God, this is the counsel people are receiving. This is the counsel people in the church are receiving from other so-called believers. Where is the truth? Where is the desire for the truth? Well, he hurt my feelings. Well, you know what? Maybe you needed your feelings hurt. I've been in a situation where I've asked for the truth. The truth came and oh my God, it hurt. It hurt so bad I wanted to crawl into a hole, cover myself with dirt and call it done. But I didn't. Because I asked for the truth. The truth came. I received it. I didn't receive it gladly initially. Initially, I was overwhelmed. Felt pushed down. Felt like there was no way out of this. I was undone. Thank you. I was undone. But when I turned and I said, okay, Lord, I asked for that truth. You gave me that truth. It looks ugly. It testifies terribly against me. And frankly, I don't like the person who said it anymore. I'm done with them. I don't like them because they were mean. But I know they were truthful, so I'm not done with them because I know that you gave it to them to give to me. Please help me. Please help me to see this, to receive this, to accept it as the truth, and to change that so that I can move out of that. That is the whole point of the truth. It's like a, what do you call it, a salve, is that right? Like an ointment you put on a salve. It's like an ointment you put on a wound. It's to draw the gunk out, to get rid of that ickiness, that disgusting blech. Once it's out, there's time to heal. There's a healing process. But the truth hurts because it testifies against your flesh. It testifies against your nature. The idea that the Lord did, Jesus did only the things that his Father gave him to do and say, is something that has been weighing heavily on me this last few weeks. How much the question is, are you likewise? Do you say and do only the things the Father would have you say and do? How much of what you speak is about you? I think it was Brother Phil mentioned the saying that I think originally came from, what's his name? The guy who raised somebody from the dead. Oh, his wife raised. Yeah, Smith Wigglesworth. I think it came from him. Go out and preach the gospel, and when necessary, use words. Different guy. Okay, well, it came from someone. Go and preach the gospel, and when necessary, use words. How often do we use words that are not the gospel? How often do we use words that are not the gospel in ministering to people? And they minister of us. They minister death and destruction to people instead of life everlasting. That should be a challenge. Speaking the truth in love, that's what Jesus did. That means he didn't do it out of vengeance or, well, if I say this, it'll hurt them, but good, they need it. No. He spoke the truth in love with the hope that they would come out of it. What this world needs is Jesus. What this world needs, what the church needs to start preaching is the truth. Unfiltered, unedited, the truth. Because that is what will draw the crap to the surface so you can get rid of it. Ricky's talked about metals, and you burn off the crud. We've done some of it with burning lead. You can put lead pellets and paper and all sorts of gunk that came with the lead pellets and the paper into a mechanism to burn it. And you burn it, and then you scoop all the crud off the top, and you've got the good lead. If you don't burn it, that heating process, that painful process of, I have this vision in my head of somebody being tortured. You know, in the movies where they shine the bright light on the person and say, "Tell me the truth." But that is what Jesus is. He is the bright light. He is the truth. He is the thing that, if you are willing to humble yourself, submit to him, bring the evil that is you and of your flesh, bring it to the light so that it can be made manifest that your deeds are wrought in God. If you're willing to do that, he can scoop that crap off the top and purify it. But as long as you try and hide it, pretend that you're not that bad, hope that you're not that bad, look at yourself in the mirror and think, "Oh, I'm not that bad." I mean, are we grading on a curve? Bring it to the light. It may be painful, but it's painful for a season, and then it's a really profitable thing if you humble yourself. Bring it to the light. The Lord will work a work. Don't hide it. Because you're hiding it only from yourself, really. Everybody else can see it.
Very interesting that you picked that topic today, Sue. Because that's what I was going to speak on there at the end. No, not hiding your light. What is repentance? I don't need you to answer. I just want you to think about it. What is repentance? Those of us that have children, we teach our children to apologize for things they do wrong, right? When my child will say, "I'm sorry," at the drop of the hat, and it means absolutely nothing. Most of the time. It's simply a mechanic that she's been taught to say, taught to do, some sort of mechanism that gets her out of whatever punishment it was. There's really no earnest remorse or repentance in the statement. It's just, "I'm sorry." Now, occasionally that's different. If it's, you know, sometimes you can tell. You can really tell if somebody is truly remorseful. You can tell if somebody is truly repentant. Naomi, give her a Kleenex, please. You can tell if someone is truly remorseful or truly repentant. You know, God can tell, too. I mean, he can tell. What really strikes me when I go and I read Romans 7 and I hear Paul talking about who shall deliver me of the body from the body of this death, O wretched man that I am. He's starting to go through this. You know, his vision or his impression of that carnal nature of his is one that is so utterly deplorable That there is in his world, there's no space for it to exist. He wants to be shed of it so thoroughly, so completely, so utterly that it is the most detestable thing that he can imagine. That sense of rejection of the carnal mind, the carnal man, is drastically missing in most Christians. I think most Christians go to the Lord very much like my daughter comes to us when she's quote-unquote sorry. I'm sorry. And just continues on about her business. See, that's not repentance, is it? That's not the spirit of what that's supposed to be. I'm not saying that we need to live in a state of utter despair because we are so stinking horrible. No, not at all. Not at all. Because God's grace is sufficient and it does wash away our sins. But it's not like butter to be spread on bread just at our whim. I don't know how else to put it. There's a fear of God that comes to bear with repentance. There's an acknowledgement of that. You know, coming to the light is part of the equation. It's just a piece of it. The other piece of that is receiving what the light has to say. And that's sort of what you were getting to right at the end. I wasn't sure if you were going to get to it or not, because that's what I wanted to talk about today. But just coming to the light, you know, coming to maybe attending the Sunday night service, which is sort of what did you get out of things, you know? Or going to your discipler and saying, you know, sort of laying things out. Is it just going through the motions? Is it just something that you're doing because you know it, you have to do it? Or if you don't do it, you know, you'll look bad or it won't. I mean, if you're just playing a game with regards to your walk with the Lord, it's that doesn't work that way. I mean, that's not real. That doesn't mean you have a real relationship with Christ. It just means you're pretending to. And that's not going to cut it. That's not going to be sufficient when you stand before the Lord and he says, did you believe? And you're going to try and say yes, and it's going to come out no, because you didn't. So when I hear people talk about coming to the light, yeah, that is so important to come to the light. Absolutely. That is like the first step. But the next step is to receive from the light. And it's not just to hear it and walk away mad. It's to receive it and then in humility actually receive and accept it and surrender to it. You see, that's where the things start to turn around. That's where repentance actually starts to take hold, because you come to the realization that you are absolutely 1,000% the wrong and there is nothing right in you. And you humble yourself and you fall before your face figuratively or literally before God and you say, God, I am wrong. You are right. Please forgive me. Or you come to the light, you say it's your discipler and you're hit with something, bang, right between the running lights, which has happened to me more times than I can count, than I can remember. Let me say, I could probably count pretty high. And it's probably more than that. But I mean, it's more than I remember. And to my shame, the majority of times when I've been hit between the running lights, I've rejected the light initially. Defend myself, justify myself. Let's go through the whole gamut of absolute rubbish. If you're going to do that, why come to the light at all? It wasn't but a couple conferences ago that we were challenged, was it not, about stop playing games? Brother Davey, it's a pretty harsh wake-up call that first night, if I remember, about stop playing games. sort of a terrifying thing when God tells you to stop playing games. Because if you don't stop playing games, guess what? You're going to lose. Absolutely going to lose. So what do you do? What do you do? When you go to the light, when you, and if you're not in discipleship, why not? Why aren't you there? It's how Jesus taught his followers. We're told to follow after him, do as he did, and that's how he did it. But if you're not in discipleship, ask yourself, why not? And if you really want to walk with the Lord, if you really, really want to get things sorted out in your life and be his servant and be profitable to him, you better get into discipleship, because that's through which the conduit of correction flows. If you reject his authority and you reject those that he is, you reject his methods, you are one standing in pride. And God says he resists the proud, but gives grace to who? The humble. So if you surrender that and you humble yourself to his way, you know, it says Jesus Christ is the way. And I would tell the guys in South Carolina, Jesus is the way and his way. Jesus is the only way and his way is the only way. So if you try and figure out a way around his way, you are not going to find it. You may think you have, but you are yet just playing a game. You're going through the motions, appeasing yourself, justifying yourself, and you are utterly lost. No, he has a way, and his way is the only way. Just humble yourself and receive that. And it's not like there's 50 ways and his is the, you know, you have to do his, and if you do the others, no, this is, you don't understand, you're on a road to utter destruction. Without Christ, you are on the road to utter destruction. You're in a toilet bowl and it's been flushed and you're on the big swirly and you're headed down. That's it. It's over. And his way is the only way out of that situation. His hand is the only hand outstretched that can actually deliver you out of that situation. If you were in a maze full of traps and snares and death around every corner, and there was one safe passage out, wouldn't you want to have that map? Wouldn't you want that? What you don't realize is your situation, your circumstance, where you are is in the middle of a death trap. And around every corner, there's a possibility of utter destruction. And the prince of this world, Satan, has laid snares for your life around every single corner. Now, I know people in this ministry have been ensnared by some of those snares, whether it's been jail or drugs or other abuses of things. They have firsthand knowledge of what those snares are like and the destruction they bring to them and their family and to their loved ones. And those that love them, it is utter destruction. You're in a death trap. And the scary thing is that the prince of this world, the enemy of Christ, paints the most beautiful picture of what he has to offer. Boy, he wraps it up in the most beautiful package. Scantily clad sometimes. But he tries to just so smoothly and so sweetly lure you. It's all right. Doesn't matter. It's okay. Just this one time, it'll be all right. Nobody will know. So sweetly, so beguiling. This is his trick he's used since the beginning. Oh, God really doesn't mean that. No. You're misunderstanding. That really won't happen. This is what he whispers into your ear. This is what he feeds you. It is a death trap of death traps. And there is one safe passage out, and his name is Jesus Christ. There's one. There's just the one. And if you try and find any other way around that, other than humbling yourself and repenting before him and receiving his gift and taking his hand, you're lost. Because you're going to go around a corner and it's going to be the end. It's just going to be the end of it. He is designed, speaking of the enemy, he has designed the most elaborate, destructive, and seductive system to appeal to that carnal man that is in you. And there is but one way out, and his name is Jesus. And you can try and play the game. You can go to meetings. Hey man, you can be an ordained minister and you can still be playing the game. Because unless within your heart you've truly repented, the only person you're kidding is you. And destruction is just around the corner. All of that can be avoided. Every stitch of it can be completely avoided with one thing. Repentance. Repentance. And repentance, again, isn't just the act of coming to the light. That's... okay, you came to the light. And then the light is going to give you some information. And what are you going to do with it? Because that's step two. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to receive it? Are you going to embrace it regardless of how painful it feels to you at the time? How much you want to scream and rail against it about that's not true or that... How are you going to receive it? Because that's really the key. We've all been trained to come to the light. Everyone that I know in this ministry has been trained to come to the light. But it's up to you to receive what the light gives you. Because if you don't, you're just piling on more that stands against you. You pile on more accountability for knowing better and yet still walking contrary to what God has ordained. Be better off for you to just quit than to keep playing the game. The end's the same, I mean. The best thing for you to do is just stop fighting God. Just stop. Stop fighting him. Put off those imaginations that tell you your authority doesn't understand, or God just doesn't get it, or your situation is somehow unique and doesn't apply to what information you're receiving. Put that off. Just put that off. Because if you put that off and just receive the light as the word of God, then it can do its job. Now, my wife has been struggling with breathing. And to me, it sounds like she is full of congestion and phlegm. And it will not come out. Is that accurate? And she went from using an inhaler once a day to now 7, 8, 10 times a day just to breathe. And that is crap as far as I'm concerned. But I also know that the problems she's had with her ribs and the problems that she's had with her breathing are a result of a spiritual issue. And as she gets rid of those things and turns those issues over to the Lord and surrenders them, that those health issues, those things that have been manifesting in her, will have to go. Because they are not permitted to stay any longer. And she's having to fight to drive that out. She's having to fight to drive out those thoughts, to drive away those desires. Amen? And it's a challenge, is it not? Every day it's a challenge to reject that, to drive that out. And I speak to that right now and command it to loosen and break up and be gone in Jesus' name. And I ask those that are listening to join with me so that she can be ultimately free of all of that garbage. Devil, you are done. Get out. And Sue, as you continue to let the Lord shine a light into your heart, and you receive that without reservation, His word will continue to do that work and break up all of that hardness that has held you back for all of these years. And the resentment and the hurt and the jealousy and the distrust and all of that stuff will go because it has no more place to live. Amen? And you will breathe free. And you will be free in Jesus' name. You can all be free. Come to the light. Amen. Come to the light. But receive what it has to offer. Because if you come to the light and simply reject it, what's the point? When my little girl comes to me and says, I'm sorry after having done something, and I know that it's not sincere, I don't accept her apology. I don't accept it. Because I know she didn't mean it. God knows when you mean it. God knows when you're being sincere. And guess what? You know when you're being sincere. And you know when you're trying to play a game. You know it. You may fool some people. You may even convince yourself at times, but you will never fool God. It's not going to happen. And all the time you continue to play that game, the enemy is just sitting there with the hugest grin on his face, waiting for you to walk around that next corner and step in his next trap, to get entangled and ensnared again in his next thing, to destroy you and to bring you down. He is just loving every moment of it. Why don't we just stop giving him so much fun? Why don't we ruin his day and destroy his little game? Amen. I think that's it for me today, guys. Come to the light, receive what it has to say, and get free in Jesus' name. One last thing. Brother Steve's been preaching that we need to take, as a ministry, it's imperative, I'm trying to find the right words. It's imperative that we take a major leap forward, not a minor step, not a small step, but a major leap forward. And probably several of those major leaps forward. That can happen. That can happen. God wants it to happen. Jesus has made a way for it to happen. But he's not going to grab you by the back of the neck and drag you kicking and screaming. He's just not going to do it. But he will help you. Peter, when he was sinking and drowning, people often like to talk about that scripture about how Jesus saved him. But you know what happened before Jesus saved him? He cried out for help. Jesus, help me. Lord, save me. He cried out. Cry out for help. Jesus is there. You don't have to drown. He's there. Amen. You guys stay tuned with us. I say that for the Eagle Radio Network here. In a little over an hour, we've got the Texas service coming up. So stay with us, and thanks for listening. And hope that this ministered to you all. Amen.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.